Hi everyone, welcome back. So if you're new to us, my name is Shu Allegra, and I'm the founder of Grace and Hope Consulting, where we empower people to achieve mental and emotional wellness, reach their full potential, and live fulfilling lives. If you've been around the block here with us a few times, you know that resilience is what we do. We are on this journey to help people rise above the circumstances so they can win at home, at work, in business, and in ministry. And so I have a new friend with me today, David. Now we'll give you a chance to introduce yourself.
Thank you very much, Shu. David Hennessy here. I'm delighted to be sharing with you today and being in touch with those people who are taking the time to listen to us.
Thank you. Do you just want to share a little bit of who you are, what you do, and maybe where you're joining from?
Yes, indeed. Actually, at this moment in time, I'm in the south of France, and that's where I'm joining everybody from. Everybody has a different story, but I originally was born in Ireland, and then I moved to Canada, and now I live in France. And I was probably split my life into three pieces in terms of the amount of time I've spent in each one of those countries, which has given me the opportunity to explore really three different cultures and two different languages. And I've also traveled a lot to over 20 countries, and that has taught me a lot about life. And what I focus on my best in terms of helping people is through a holistic approach to personal development that I created 21 years ago now, called the Wonder Technique.
Awesome.
It's a long time ago. It's been a great evolving journey, and I've learned an enormous amount in the process as well as being able to share. I've done most of my work for those people listening with people directly in person, over 7,000 people through workshops and conference work and that. And I've really enjoyed that. But thanks to people like Shu and this opportunity of being on little podcasts and that is really good because it's given me a new experience that I never thought I would be able to do. And those people are listening and thinking, you know, that might be easy for people to speak on a podcast or as a professional speaker, but let me tell you, it's not easy because I grew up extremely shy. And I learned that the only way that when I really had a passion for sharing something, and that's what really happened in the development of the Wonder Technique, was to create strategies. And that kind of tailors right into the idea of dealing with resilience. Yeah. And for me, resilience is not just about the word resilience. I like to call it resilience in advance. It's learning things ahead of time. Yeah. That's the secret. That's the secret message.
Yeah.
And I can give lots of examples, but Shu, it's your show. You tell me how we want to go.
No, I'm just like, I'm really excited. I'm so excited. And we're like, oh, I want more. So first of all, you and I chatted a little bit and I didn't even know you were in France. Like I saw the phone number and I'm like, that's a 3-3 number. It has to be France. I'm like, okay, maybe just in my head. And I see the thing, like I'm paying attention to too many details, right? And I see the sign in your background. I'm like, bien être, that's French. And I said earlier, French is my first language. So we have to connect later about, you know, maybe doing some things in France.
je parle français, mais pas de tout comme vous, j'imagine.
Vous parlez très bien français.
Ah, c'est gentil.
Awesome. So yeah, let's dive right into the whole idea of resilience. And so you mentioned something, it's not just resilience, it's resilient forward. No, it's so I want you to kind of unpack that for us.
Yes, indeed. I'll give an example to most people that they can relate to even outside of it, because I look for analogies and ways of things that exist in all our lives. This is why the Wonder Technique is all about a holistic approach, really looking at all the different things that impact our lives. And if you want to make something really simple, this is outside of what we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. But when you have a fire extinguisher in your kitchen or in your car, if you ever run into a problem, you have a tool to be able to use once something happens. If you're running a car that has a battery in it, in terms of an internal combustion engine car as against electric, you want to boost the battery or help someone else. If you've got jumper cables, as we would call them, or recharging cables, you have them available. So if you have a problem, you have something that you can use. I do a lot of hiking. And I've hiked for years and I always carry a first aid kit. Mm. And that allows me to actually, believe it or not, I've helped more people with my first aid kit than I've needed to help myself. So there's a special thing to being what I call resilience and resilient in advance, okay. Is that once you have tools in place for yourself, you're better prepared to help other people. Because I really believe in the world, we're designed to help other people. We're very social beings and we get our greatest happiness from helping other people. And it's the people around us, the value of our lives comes from the people that we know and the experiences that we have. So we take great, I mean, I take great positive feelings. I feel really grateful for all the people that I know in my life. That's what brings the richness to my life, my children, everything. That's what makes my life really good. And if I was in a position of difficulty, and most people listening, I've been in difficult moments, and I will share that in a moment, kind of give a baseline. But the key is that during those times, I already had some tools in place, because the Wonder Technique I learned 21 years ago, I started creating this particular program. It's very unique because it didn't exist. It's my own creation in terms of putting together information using images and analogies and ideas to help make it easier for people to adapt. Now, one of the things that I learned was, for example, when I moved to France, this was a very quick move that I did, because my mother-in-law was very ill. And what I did was I moved into a country where I didn't speak the French language at all. Now, when you move to another country and you have family to support and you don't speak the language, you essentially lose your work. But I did it for the right reason. But then it put me into a position of difficulty. And the only way that I could get over that was by the desire to make a positive change in my own life. I was aware of all the responsibilities I had to other people around me, but I knew I had to find the internal motivation to do stuff. So for those people listening, very, very important that when you want to make a change in your life, it has to come from an internal focus. It has to be because you want to do it. Mm-hmm. You won't change your life if someone else is saying to you, you need to change it. Whether it's somebody you love dearly, your children, your mom, it doesn't matter who it is, you're not going to make changes unless you have the desire. But once you have the internal motivation as against external, you will start to make changes. And the best way to do things over time is what I call a compounding effect. It's like the compounding effect on money in the bank account. But day by day, you add up. No matter what you want to change, whether you want to improve your sleep, you know, you want to improve your ability to move your body, exercise, your diet, your relationships, very important, step by step. Work on the small things and they compound.
I so agree with everything you said. And I think often, you know, the way we just started a new year, I know today's the last day of January, but it's still a new year. And often people go, you know, all wild, right? And it's, you know, setting all these resolutions and the things they want to accomplish, you know, in the year. And many times, you're right, that it's not always because they want to do it. It's because one, everybody's doing it, or someone is expecting them to do it. Which, you know, in a sense, that could be a place of, you know, inspiration, but it's never a true and authentic and strong place of motivation. Exactly. If I'm just doing it for someone else, I'm never going to, you know, follow through on it, most likely. It needs to come. I need to have that drive that this matters to me. And because it matters to me, I'm going to put my best foot forward. I'm going to find the strength, the internal strength to do it. I'm going to find the resources and the support in order to achieve it. So it all starts, it starts from the inside out, right?
It starts from the inside out.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, back in 2014, I was involved. I had a fall when I was rock climbing. And when I fell, I hit the ground and I had the electric shock because my legs were straight when I hit the ground. And what happened was my body, we're all a little bit resilient right away where we can absorb pain. But 2 days later, I found myself in a hospital where they scanned me and said that I had two massive hernias and I was starting to be unable to walk. And what happened was over the next 6 months, I wasn't able to walk without extraordinary pain. And the surgeon at the hospital told me that I needed to be operated on for a quick healing. And I didn't want to get operated on because I knew people who had a bad experience with operations. The back is very complicated. I know people have had brain surgery and it's been more successful than back surgery. It's amazing how challenging it is. So one of the things that I worked on my pathway to healing, as well as getting outside help, was my state of mind. I really had to decide. I mean, I was lying on the couch. As I mentioned just a little bit earlier, I love hiking. My children are really important to me. All the people around me are. And I was like, my life was like, I hit the bottom because I couldn't do what I love to do. And so I made a decision in my mind, and actually something that would be helpful to people. I made a decision in my mind because I looked ahead 5 years, 10 years into the future and said, if I don't make some changes now, I'm going to be stuck at this point. Yeah. So for those people listening, I always suggest to people, if you're trying to motivate yourself internally to make a change, look into the future and say, if I don't start saving some money now, or don't start to pay attention in my relationships, listening to people better, taking the time to be with them, or if I don't start looking to do the work that I love to do, if I continue what I'm doing right now, I'm going to have the same experience in a year, 2, 3, 5, 10 years from now. And that goes back to the idea of compounding actions. So I decided each day I would work on my state of mind and work on gradually improving my ability to be more flexible. And it was 6 months later that I first walked around what the block is what I called in English, like around where, because I couldn't even walk to the gate where I would drop off my children to school. So it was a massive success when I could walk across a room, like, but it was bit by bit.
Yes. Yeah.
Everything's bit by bit. Like, you know, you can't really, I mean, people talk about hacking life, hacking relationship. I was like, I always thinking, no, you can't. You build on things everything over time. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like people want the shortcuts all over the place. They can, you can't really, when you know life, it's not about that. Mm-hmm. You know, relationships are built over time.
Right.
People don't instantly really, well, okay, people can come back at me on this here, but you may meet somebody and fall in love with them, but it's what happens over time that nourishes the relationship. And what destroys the relationship is what you don't do over time. It's not one error that you make, one wrong word. It's because you consistently do something that really annoys the other person and they've identified that with you and you fail to change.
Yeah,
you fail to respect what they need and vice versa. So it's a rolling pathway. Our lives are an extended journey. You know, it's a marathon, as they say.
And that idea of journey is so important. I think when we're looking for shortcuts, we're so busy, our minds can only retain so much because of just how busy our lives are and how, you know, society has kind of, you know, forced us, or maybe we accepted society norms, you know, of living the busy life. And as we do that, you know, we miss out on the journey itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so everybody's looking, what's maybe as moms, I'm here, you know, guilt of that. The quickest way to, you know, get dinner ready tonight because I don't have time to do all that. And we thought that, you know, microwaves were good. Now it's like, no, now we need Instapots, right? Cook that, the whole turkey in 20 minutes and get it done. Right. And so like we all like living this life-paced life, but then also embracing so much of that, you know, quick and done stuff, that we miss the lessons that we learn if we take the time to actually be mindful and then and embrace all that's happening. I think resilience is all of that too. It's like, yes, I want to get, you know, like you said, see what's going to happen or what will life be like in 5 years? You know, what do I want it to be in 5 years? Start visualizing it, right? And then creating those changes, making those changes to achieve that life that you want. But as you're pursuing that, it's not a jump and a skip, but you're there. It's like, exactly. What am I learning now in year one that I can compound right into year two and then bring to year three and year four? And then by year five, you're like, whoa, I'm here. And I'm here with more things, more skills, more relationships, more, you know, strength that I thought I ever thought possible. But it starts in, again, looking ahead. And then, like you said, then start compounding and not just rushing for things. And I can, as you're talking about, you know, not being able to walk, I had a similar experience, maybe not hiking. I'm not that adventurous. I go out, but not to that point per se. For me, I had a stroke at 33 and I lost my speech and I lost my ability to walk as well. And so I remember those days where I had to literally see myself in a wheelchair in a rehabilitation clinic and then ask myself, what are the things I still want to do? You know, I love doing what I'm doing here. I love, just like you, I'm a public speaker. I love speaking and not just, I love it. I know that it brings, you know, I'm impactful in that. That for me, it's a calling. I have a word to share with others that encourages, that uplifts and, you know, and motivates others. So not being able to speak, it was just like, whoa, right? And then I went from that, started writing more because now I wanted to get all of the things up here of my head, you know, into the world and so that it outlives me. So even from that one experience, like you said, okay, let me look forward, right? What do I want to know? Where do I want to be in 5 years? What will happen if I don't do anything? So while I'm working on getting my speech back, while I'm working on getting my memory and getting my body to do the things that I needed to do, you know, how else can I still share the things that I like to share and make that impact? And so you found that internal strength, right? Because then you realize it's not just from the here and now, right? And there's a bigger impact that I want to make. There's a life that I want to live. I want to be part of my children's life. So I'm still not where I want to be yet. Like when I still walk with a cane, and I have an 8 and 10 year old boys, my daughter's almost 16. I cannot run after these boys. So they take advantage of me quite a few times, but now at least I can walk around the park with them. You know, I can go to a museum with them and I feel like, oh, I can't really access the things that they're enjoying. Because what it started up here. Yes, I had to work for my body for the therapy. But I think that, you know, mindset, what you believe and what you start creating that reality when you start, like you said, that internal strength.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, we do need physical therapies in our lives, but you know, there's the placebo effect and there's also the nocebo effect. The nocebo effect, most people don't know. It comes from the power of the mind and the results of an experience that you're having. The nocebo is if you believe the opposite. You believe things are going to not work out. You can actually counteract the success of what you're going through. So if you have a therapy that you're going through, a physiological or biological, and you don't believe it's going to work, you're actually defeating the situation. Exactly. You have power over that. You have the power to reverse it. One thing I would like to share, Shu, is that part of this being aware of where you are, and like you described very beautifully, you want to be around for your children to make that difference. To me, it's kind of like, imagine you're going to live forever, but you could die tomorrow, meaning that you want to leave a legacy, you want to make an impact in your day. And one way of doing this in my life that I've experienced, and this is, I mean, I've been doing the Wonder Technique now, sharing with people 20+ years, but this is something I adapted after 2018. And that was a pivotal moment in my life because I did my first ever marathon after recovering from the back injury. And at that point in time, I really saw how when I thought about things morning and night, they were making a huge difference in my day. And I'm going to share with the audience that's listening and yourself a protocol that I developed, and it helps what I call frame the day. And what happens is as I go to sleep at night, before I go to sleep, I take a piece of paper and I write down 5 things that I'm grateful for. Now, it doesn't have to be, you know, like some people will think, well, I have to win the lottery, I have to have a new relationship, I have to have a new car. No, it's like, I have a place to sleep. I've had some food today. I'm feeling healthy. My children are good. Doesn't matter. I've got hair on my head, or, you know, but whatever, I have air to breathe. You're focusing your mind on the positive. That's the key. You're being grateful. And what that does, when I write that down, I'm saying write it down with a pen and paper, not on a computer, is because you want to have the digital devices away. But there's something very special about using your hand and writing stuff. It's imprinting it on your brain. That's the first thing. And then when I get into bed, I run through in my mind, and I do this like consistently. I won't let myself go asleep until, but if I fall asleep during this process, it's still positive, and you'll hear why, is I run through all the positive things that I see happening in my life that I'm grateful for and I want to see happening. I appreciate my health and well-being. I appreciate my friends. I appreciate the money that I have that gives me the power to be able to buy food, etc. And as I go asleep, I'm thinking about things positively. The chances of me having a nightmare and bad dreams when I'm going to sleep thinking about good things is sabotaged in a positive way. And then first thing in the morning when I wake up, I do the reverse. I start to think about all those positive things that I mentioned before that are going to happen today. I was thinking about this podcast this evening. So as you probably know, I was reaching out to you to make sure I got the Zoom link and everything correct, because I was excited about it. So my mind was visualizing the positive experience of dad. And then as I got out of bed, then I wrote down the positive things, like I'm going to have a great podcast with you today. Like I'm imprinting the future by my own choice. So I frame the day in that way. So the day may become wild and crazy. Things can happen, but I have a positive ending and beginning. So you're holding the day in its space. And you by doing that, you kind of control your life, because then you can see where you want things to go. And where you don't want things to go.
Oh, yeah. I'm just like, so true. And we take for granted the power of the mind, right? And we take for granted, like you said, not only that we can create, you know, a reality by what we think and how, like you said, we cannot plan ahead, right? We plan for everything else. So I'm going to go on the trip, then I want to make sure if it's out of the country, they have my passport, right? They apply the passport ahead of time, that, you know, I have the bags that I need, if it's going to know which season is going to be there. Like, you know, we plan for everything else in life, but sometimes we miss to plan for life itself.
Exactly.
Right? Because things will happen that, you know, that we did not plan, that comes out of the ordinary, and they just kind of knocks you off your track a little bit. But if you do what you're talking about, David, kind of framing your day, mm-hmm. I guarantee, like, I know for a fact that that is effective, because I do similar things, and yes. I didn't even call it frame your day. I love that. Love that. And so it's just so powerful how you can start telling yourself a new story about exactly. your life, about your day, and actually start, you know, generating the life that, you know, you want because of what you tell yourself.
Yes. And for people to kind of, maybe to somebody a little bit more scientific mind like myself, listening to that, wondering, well, the secret and part of that framing your day is that as we go from where we're at right now, when we're having conversation and we're awake, we're in what are called beta level of brain activity. But as we drift into sleep, we go through alpha, theta, and then into delta, which is deep sleep. That phase of alpha, theta, we will recognize that kind of fogginess, the kind of drifting away, our subconscious mind is very susceptible to what we're thinking about at that point in time. So I'm taking total advantage of that experience when I'm programming my mind before going to sleep. And I will not allow myself to enter into that state where I'm thinking about something negative, because I'm just going to ruminate in it. And when we have when we sleep, we have, of course, REM sleep and non-REM sleep. And REM sleep is a process where our brain works on dealing with emotional things that have been going on and organizing them in our lives. And if you have an emotional turmoil that we take into our sleep, then the body, you're trying to work on that. But what if your brain, you're training your brain to work on something that you really want to have happen? That's the key. You're taking the same power and you're redirecting it. You know, it's the old story, using a hammer to hurt something or a hammer to build something. Mm-hmm. We have all these things. And I really do believe that all of us, I could be wrong here, but all of us can use certain tools in our lives and make a huge difference. It's all about the application. We apply things differently. We communicate differently. But the fundamental tools, like drinking water, eating the correct foods, moving our bodies in whatever way, like some people come to my seminars and say, you know what, I don't like going to the gym, but I love dancing. Great. Dancing is your exercise.
Yeah,
I don't go to the gym. I hike. That's my form of exercise. Mm-hmm, I get outside. Mm-hmm. I'm in nature. I'm breathing fresh air. So you have a different way of expressing yourself. So for example, some people try and make a habit that I mentioned before about compounding. When you're making habits, you want to make a habit that you're motivated to do. If you have friends who love to run, you don't like to run, don't run. Mm-hmm. Do something that you want to do, whether it's rollerblading beside them, a skateboard beside them, cycling beside them. Mm-hmm. Do what you enjoy to do, because you'll be more motivated to do an exercise that you enjoy than to do an exercise that you're psychologically thinking, oh, when is this going to be over?
Right. Yeah.
It's how you choose.
I share similar things when I do my self-care workshops as well. It's not a one size fit all, right? The goal, the end goal, the outcome we're trying to achieve is all to be well, right? To be healthy. But how you go about it has to be very personalized so that you are most likely to achieve it, right? Exactly. I'm one of those people, I try the gym, and unless it's a group class where I have the accountability from others, I wasn't as motivated.
Exactly.
But I can put, you know, a Zumba thing on YouTube, and I'll be sweating here with my kids just dancing away because that's more enjoyable for me. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, it didn't matter if I went to the gym or not. I moved my body, and that was the goal that I wanted to achieve. And so, definitely, you know, knowing yourself, I think it's also a key to resilience, right? Knowing yourself and then, you know, giving yourself what you need so that you can get through what life throws at you.
Exactly. And resilience in advance, as I mentioned before, is all about the fundamental tools of wellness and taking care of yourself and what you need. The stronger you are, you're going to be able to help other people and yourself as a life. I mean, you're always going to be hit with challenges. And this is why I do disagree with people when some people say, no, you don't have to deal with that particular area in your life. I think, oh, yes, you do. You just have to find a different way. Whether it's physical fitness, you can't neglect that. You have a different pathway. Mm-hmm. Whether, you know, you need to have good nutrition. I talk about delicious, nutritious foods because I know that people want to enjoy the foods, but they still have to be nutritious because your body needs the proper fuel. Mm-hmm. You know, you may find a different way for yourself yourself to enter sleep. But sleep is really, really important. Learning, memory, health, well-being, you just have to find there's fundamental principles of what get us into good sleep. And people can learn that, but you can't delete it. People who try to do that, people who say, well, I can hydrate my body without drinking water. I'm saying, show me. You can't. I mean, tea, coffee, that's not hydration. That's a diuretic that takes water out of your body. So you need to drink water. You know, I remember at workshops, the lady would say, I don't drink water, I drink orange juice. And I said, well, would you wash your car in orange juice? You know, I was like, I mean, another one pops to mind. This one lady told me, I was explaining to her the importance of getting out in fresh air every day. Mm-hmm. And she put up her hand and says, does driving to the workshop, this I'm laughing as I think about it, driving to the workshop or to work with the window open in the car count? And I said, no. And because people are looking for a way around trying to do what are actually shortcuts. Very simple things.
The shortcuts to life.
Yeah.
And it's like, work.
And the thing is that, you know, everybody knows how good it feels. I mean, I'm sure there's some people that maybe not, but I haven't met them yet. Mm-hmm. When you go out and spend time in nature in the fresh air, if you've had a tough day or even a good day, you feel great. That's because we're reconnecting to our source. And if you look at a day, this is one of the things you could look at the end of your day. If you want to add to something I shared there, I'm sharing with the people listening, sure, you probably already know this, is look back on your day and think, did I drink enough water? Did I spend time outside? Because nowadays there's been a lot of going on in the world where people have spent less time outside. When you spend less time outside and get less fresh air, what are you doing? You're drinking in air that has less oxygen in it. You're making it harder for your body. You're going to feel more stressed, more anxious, and you're going to be more difficult to deal with other people and yourself. So you have to look back on your day and say, what habits do I have? And just take the time. Like for me, it's adorable that I can walk. Like, I mean, I loved getting outside every day. I start my day with going for a little walk. It doesn't matter. It's very symbolic, but it's also very important. Mm-hmm. I go outside, you know, look at the sky. Doesn't matter whether it's raining, windy, sunny, it's getting outside.
Yeah. And this the idea of habit is so important because in everything we do, right? And I want to kind of just build up, I guess, from the idea you mentioned earlier with resilience in advance and then the habits that we create in order to be resilient in advance, exactly. Right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we know, we talk about prevention is key, right? And that's even the best medicine. In order to know, if we can do things in a preventive way, we avoid getting to a crisis.
Exactly.
Same thing happens to a mind, same thing happens to a body. So it's as you, because you know the life on earth will happen and I'm going to have things that are going to come your way. How are you preparing for those things, right?
Exactly.
By building habits that make you more resilient.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, so drinking the water, like you said, getting the fresh air, right? Or framing your day, having meaningful relationships. All those things are habits that you know, once you start doing them and making them part of your life, make you more resilient in the long run and, you know, prevent even crisis in the future. So then you are resilient in advance. I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Love it.
You summed it up beautifully.
Thank you for sharing all your wisdom here with us. So I'm thinking for someone, you mentioned the wonder technique and we didn't really quite touch on that. And so for people who want to find out more about that and maybe connecting to your workshop or work with you personally to kind of explore some of the things you mentioned here, how can they go about doing so?
Okay, Shu, I'm a person who loves simplicity. So the best way to find me is through my website, which is thewondertechnique.com. So thewondertechnique.com. Everything is there. And for those people who visit it, and if they register, get my newsletter, there is a ton of gifts that I give away free that I used to sell at workshops. Mm-hmm. One of them, which is one of my favorites that was inspired by my dad before he passed away. They're little mini motivational cards. And I might have sent you, if I didn't, I will send you this whole package, Shu, because these little mini motivational cards you can print off, they say little phrases on them like, I feel wonderful, I feel courageous. And you can also leave them in, you know, the pocket of somebody you know. Mm-hmm. You could leave them on the bus. I call it positive litter. You know, you surprise somebody. It's a little motivational thing.
I'm going to steal that. Positive litter.
Yeah, positive litter. So, and then there's other things in there. There's a checklist for how to get better sleep, checklist for improving your relationships. It's all included at no charge. I like to give a lot of stuff away. And people will find that at thewondertechnique.com. They just have to go check it out. And then there's more resources too.
Awesome. Yeah. So for everyone listening, go to thewondertechnique.com, sign up for the newsletter, you know, browse around the website, see what he has coming up, but sign up for the newsletter so you can get, you know, all those, you know, those goodies that he has to share. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here, David. I so, you know, honored to have met you and to be doing this with you. And as we often say here at Grace Group Consulting, once you're a friend, you're always a friend. So I will look forward to collaborating on future projects and can't wait to see what else you have going on there in France and beyond.
Thank you very much. It's been my honor. Thank you, Shu, and thank you for everybody listening. Yeah.